Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of the Bird Gang. Me and Mark Milano would like to thank Mark McLean to our show today. Mark, thanks for coming on.
No problem. Always glad to be with you guys.
And Ryan might be joining us soon, but for now we'll be joined by Mark. So I guess we'll get into the Eagles first. A lot of people were surprised, and obviously so, by first the Foles for Sam Bradford trade, which included a couple draft picks. I'll get into that in a moment. But not only by that, by the DeMarco Murray signings, as well as the Ryan Matthews. Getting into the DeMarco Murray information, on Thursday he signed a 5-year, $40 million deal, plus an additional $2 million in incentives, $21 million guaranteed, and $5 million signing bonus. He'll be set to make $5 million this year. He's 27th, fifth year in the NFL, and obviously he led the NFL in rushing yards last year with a little over 1,800 and over 115 yards, rushing yards a game. And he also led the NFL in rushing attempts, 392, touchdowns, 13, and yards from scrimmage over 2,200. Mark McLean, what did you make of the Murray signing? Because obviously everybody was so shaken up by the McCoy, the trading of McCoy, that there was obviously a little bit of a hole there, running back, even though Sproles can very well hold his own. So were you surprised by the Murray deal?
Yeah, I was quite stunned. I think there was a twofold thing there. You had Sam Bradford the day before, and of course they played together in Oklahoma, so there was a little help there going on. It boils down to not a black and white scenario, but a green scenario with free agency. I remember Jerome Brown telling me those exact words. It's business. There's a lot of times we'd like to think it's loyalty and a lot of other things, but it comes down to dollars and cents. And apparently Dallas, you hear the nonsense of wearing down of the 92, but that offensive line Dallas had. And you got to remember another thing, too. DeMarco Murray is a different type of runner than LeSean McCoy would ever be, all right? That is going to be something the Eagles fans are going to have to make an adjustment to. We're used to the dynamics of McCoy and Barry Sanders. I don't call Murray that. He's a pretty strong guy that will run down the gut and find an opening and get you those tough yards. I think what really was the more surprising thing was Ryan Matthews. I really wasn't sure that they were going to get him along with Murray, and that was a pleasant surprise. I understand that they, you know, Ryan Matthews has had more injury problems with San Diego than Murray, but he's still got two young guys, there are horses in there, and you add Darren Sproles into that mix. And I'll tell you right now, I've been watching since 1958, and I've never seen a three-headed combination of running backs in the Eagles uniforms like this. There's some good ones, don't get me wrong. We've had Westbrook and together with Buckholder and I think Deuce at one time. And basically we've had Waters and Garner, a Thunder and Lightning scenario in the past. But these three guys are all pros, all three of them. And we never had that kind of running backfield. Chip has made some, well, he's thinking out of the box. And let's face it, last week it was doomsday with us with losing McCoy, getting shocked by that, and then not re-signing Macklin. A lot of us were kind of thinking, oh boy, here we go again. The fourth Philadelphia franchise in this city, tearing itself apart. And you didn't know if you had a direction that you were going there or not. So I am not sure that Kelly had DeMarco Murray in sight as a plan. But when the opportunity came, I think Kelly did some really thinking about the running back position and how it can affect this year. My major concern, to be honest, with both for you and Mark to talk about a little bit more, is the quarterback, okay? We've only had 4 out of 28 Heisman Trophy quarterbacks that have won a Super Bowl, all right? I don't know about Bradford. I can't say that he's he's marginally in the same area as Nick Foles or not. I was a Nick Foles guy. I'll be honest with you, I like Foles a lot too. Yeah, I'm sure you guys were, you know, you're younger, and I would understand Mariota. And listen, if Mariota falls down to a 17 or 18, I can't, or in that range of 5, I can't say Kelly wouldn't go after him, you know? There's no, if anybody in any news media right now, at any level, tells you they know what Chip's next move is, please let me know, okay?
Because,
I think this is something where Philadelphia people are not used to. We're not used to this. And we really can't. Here's the thing, I like to say one thing, and I rambled on a lot here. But this isn't Dream Team 1, okay? It may be a Dream Team 1 and a half, but the type of players that we got on Dream Team 1, I don't see that in Dream Team 2. And I'd like you guys to interject in here in the course of this show. Do you really think that we've upgraded so far, all right? If we stop now, do you really think before the draft we've upgraded our team?
Well, let me throw this to the other Mark real quick, and then Ryan, who's joined us. Mark, what do you think of what Mark McClain was saying? I'll start off with the Murray deal. The contract in itself and him replacing Murray, did you like the deal?
I love the deal. You pretty much got DeMarco Murray, Maxwell, for Shady McCoy's contract. And even if you want to say you can got Kiko Alonso and Maxwell for Shady McCoy contract. So that's pretty good right there. And like Mark was saying, I don't think that Murray was on Chip's radar at the moment, but when DeMarco Murray made the call to Chip saying he wants to play for his organization and the spread offense in Philadelphia, I think the opportunity presented itself to where Chip had no other choice but to jump on that opportunity to get DeMarco Murray. Not only one, because he's the best running back in football coming off a career year. Number two, you take him away from your biggest competition in the NFC East, which is the Cowboys. So you're really hurting them too, which makes them go out and get a injury-prone running back at Darren McFadden. So you pretty much killed two birds with one stone with signing him, helping your team out, and also hurting the Cowboys.
Yeah, and also I want to get your opinion on the Ryan Matthews deal. He signed a 3-year deal worth $11 million. $5 million of which is guaranteed, and also a $3 million signing bonus. He'll make $1 million this year. He's also 27, as is Murray, and he missed 10 games last year due to a sprained ankle. Though I think he's 100%, and he's had 2,000-yard seasons rushing in his career. Did you like the Matthews move too, Mark?
I loved it absolutely, yeah, because you now have a three-headed monster, which we haven't had since Buckholder and Westbrook and Staley. But this is on a whole another level. This is a whole another monster inside itself. I think now that you have three all-pro running backs, you can take the load off of Murray, Sproles, and Matthews, so you're not going to wear them down by the end of the season. So they're all going to have very productive years, I think.
Yeah, it's almost like that three-headed monster we were all talking about, but on steroids. And, Ryan, I want to get your opinion on the same two topics before we jump into Sam Bradford. What did you think of the Murray deal and the Ryan Matthews deal?
I personally loved both deals. I felt that the Eagles needed to get more of a power-running type of formation going, and by signing DeMarco Murray, they got, in my opinion, one of the best power runners in the NFL. He's not afraid to run it right into the tackles and fight for the tough yards, unlike McCoy, who would bounce it to the outside and try to make the big flashy play. As far as Ryan Matthews goes, I love that signing too. That helps take a lot of the pressure off of Murray. He's not going to have to endure another 400 carry season like he did last year in Dallas. I think that'll definitely take some tread off the tires, if you will, and also add in Sproles, that'll take some tread off the tires of Matthews. So I really like the moves. I think we have a nice three-headed monster at running back, and I don't really foresee any injuries coming up, knock on wood. I think we're going to actually see a fully healthy season from the Eagles running backs for the first time this year.
And what do you guys think is going to happen with Chris Polk? Because The Eagles tendered him for a $1.5 million contract. He's a short yardage specialist, but now obviously with the Murray and Matthews signings, it changes up. I would like to see them keep Polk, but I'm sure he's displeased that he went from, you know, probably a number two back to a number three, and he's in the fact that, as we mentioned, you have three All-Pros ahead of him. He's not going to get very many touches, so I can see him being a trade target, as has Evan Mathis been. What do you guys see happening with Chris Polk next year? I'll start off with you, Ryan.
I don't see Polk returning. Like you said, you've got three All-Pro backs ahead of him. I do think he's the odd man out. I read a report earlier today that said the Eagles are considering rescinding the restricted tender that they gave him, which would make him an unrestricted free agent. I think the best thing for them to do, though, would be to keep him and use him as a trade chip in the draft to acquire another draft pick or two like they did with Bryce Brown last year.
Yeah, I saw that same report. It's kind of interesting to see what happens. I thought he had a lot of promise, and I think if he doesn't go on the team, it'll be interesting to see what he does, probably as a backup next year on a team that has a major star. Mark Milano, what did you think of Chris Polk?
I think he's a great back. Not great back, but he's a great short yardage back and a good special teams kick returner. I could see him being a major trade piece if they did want to go after like a Mariota-type player on draft day, but I don't see him being on the team next year.
Would you agree with that, Mark McClain?
Well, I have a question for them all. You know, I didn't hear that he signed that tender offer yet. My major concern right there. And so if he didn't sign the tender offer, you can't use him as a trade bait. That's the situation. He'd already be into the free agent scenario. And they took the low tender order, so they're not due any compensation for him with that. I would kind of hope, to be honest with you, that his agent would kind of really rethink. Chip said something the other day, if you guys saw the conference. Last year they kept four tight ends, okay? And Trey Burton emerged in special teams. We had Ertz, we had Casey, and we had Selleck. And this year he said we could go back to three tight ends and carry four running backs. You know, you got a coach here who's going to think out of the back and think of something also here. Every one of us agree that we've got a great running back scenario, so we're not even worried about that position. But if you add Pope to that, decide to keep him and not use a trade bait on him, imagine having Polk as a fourth running back in case an injury would happen to Matthews or Murray, whatever, you think, in the course of 16 games. I think it's brilliant in one way because you extend the longevity of all these players, okay, including Sproles, okay? So to that, you know, I don't care about spending the money they did for the running backs. We're going to probably get into the wide receivers later in the show and then the quarterback to that point. But I see really right now, and I won't disagree with you. I mean, if he does sign and they decide to use him as a part of a trade scenario, he's going to attract some people. There's no question about it. There's reports today, and Kyle, you may be able to look into this. I don't have the capology for figures. I have some sources that have been giving me some figures, and I'm not quite sure that's accurate. But where they are, how much money they really actually have left right now to start spending, and then satisfying the draft picks, okay? Best estimate, something you may be able to punch into a computer right now to come up with that. But to me, you're going to, any moves right now that I think that are trade realistically to try to address wide receiver and safety or even another cornerback would come through Evan Mathis, Michael Kendricks, and Chris Polk. They're the three guys I do think would be targeted that you could draw. And then also consider the fact that you could add a lower round draft pick with any one of them to get somebody that you would prefer to have, you know. So I'm sure he's out exploring right now because he knows the certain needs that we still have to have, and if we don't get them. And, again, we're going to be flipping a coin here. I don't know, you know, all my knowledge right now, I don't know whether it's safe to say he's not going to make an attempt at Mariota, depending how far Mariota would slip, okay? You have to consider something. Mariota really is going to only work in certain systems. And I don't know of a team in front of the Eagles that he's adaptable to, including Cleveland. So anybody that picks him up ahead of time is going to be sitting Mariota for pretty much a whole year, all right? Learning the whole process of being a pocket quarterback, you know, to this avenue. And I don't know if that's really the answer. He's not Winston, so I certainly don't see Tampa Bay taking him, you know. The Jets, they just got Fitzpatrick. The Rams, they got Foles. So Cleveland, Cleveland's at 12, you know. If they're going to take a risk, again, with like a Manziel again, I don't know if their crowd base and that organization wants to go through that again yet. So, yeah, this is really something that's very intriguing, I think, for all of us. And, to make a real reliable statement about it, Kyle, would be hard for anybody to say right now. So, I mean, That's the throw the ideas out to you, and you guys can throw them back, whatever you feel.
I just want to get into Sam Bradford and what you guys thought on that. 2 days prior to the Murray and Matthews deals, they traded Nick Foles, fourth-round pick in this year's draft, and a second-round pick in 2016 draft to St. Louis for Sam Bradford and a 2015 fifth-round pick. If Bradford starts less than 50% of the games this year, the Eagles will also get a 2016 fourth-round pick. And if he gets injured and doesn't play at all, they'll receive a 2016 third-round pick. And Bradford will reunite with his rookie-year offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur, who was the offensive coordinator with the Rams from 2009 to 2010. Now, I think Mark McClain, you said this, you were a big Foles guy. Mark and Ryan both know that I'm a huge Foles guy, but I obviously like, you know, the money that they would have spent on that, they get Murray back, so it kind of lightens the load a little bit. But, Ryan, what did you think about the Bradford deal and the picks and the trade itself?
I was surprised, but at the same time not surprised. I wasn't really surprised at the fact that Kelly traded Foles. I honestly expected him to trade Foles. I didn't think it would be for Bradford, though. I thought it would be in a move up to get Mariota. So that was the part that surprised me. Probably the biggest takeaway that surprised me was the fact that we actually traded a second-round pick to St. Louis for Bradford. I mean, I know the guy's talented, but he really has not been healthy all that much. He's played two fully healthy seasons. They haven't exactly been great seasons, besides his rookie year where he was really good but not great. So I was surprised we gave up as much as we did to get Bradford, but I do trust Kelly, and I do think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I think ever since Chip was promoted to coach and as far as player personnel as well as coach, I think he's made some interesting moves. Obviously, McCoy, at first I thought it was about the money, but I think it was more about his attitude and his running style, which Mark McClain alluded to. His running style is more different than a lot of teams and running backs are used to, whereas Murray's more up and down. Mark Milano, what did you think of the Bradford deal?
I liked it. I may be one of the only people on the show that liked that deal, but I think that Bradford has a lot of potential to be a great quarterback. Keep in mind how terrible the Rams teams have been since they've been to the playoffs in 2004, I believe. They've had terrible teams, no offensive line, no offensive weapons. I think a change of scenery would be great for him. And if he can stay healthy, that's even a bonus for him. I think he is one of the smartest quarterbacks, one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league. and that's what a lot of scouts and analysts have said. Now, I just don't think Foles was the guy in Philadelphia. Yeah, he had an amazing 2013 season where he had 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. But also, if you think about it, no one had any game film on Foles. No one knew his weaknesses, his strengths, what he does. And I think you saw that in 2014 where he had a, you know, he was injured for half the year and had 13 turnovers in 8 games. So I don't think that Foles was Chip's guy, and he knew that. So, you know, I'm happy with the trade.
Do you think Bradford's a better fit and or a better player than Foles for the Eagles system, Mark?
Well, it's kind of hard to say that just because I don't know how Bradford would work in our system. I won't be able to answer that question until we see Bradford on the field in our system.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And by the way, the Rams haven't made the playoffs since 2004, and they haven't had it, and that year they were 8-8, and they haven't had a winning season since 2003. So they're definitely looking for a quarterback that can kind of take them there. And if Foles fit that system and that that whole scheme of what they want to do over there in St. Louis remains to be seen. And like you said, whether or not Bradford will be a success for the Eagles scheme, assuming he stays healthy, will be we'll figure out down the line. Now, I want to run down Bradford's stats. He was obviously the number one overall pick in 2010 out of Oklahoma by the Rams. And overall, like Ryan said, he's only played 2 full years in 4 NFL seasons, actually not including this past year. He missed the whole year, I believe. So 18 touchdowns, 15 interceptions his rookie year. He only had 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions each in his sophomore season, played 10 games. And then his 2012 and 2013 seasons were a little bit better, 21 touchdowns in 2012 and 82.6 passer rating and 90.9 passer rating in those 2 years. So he's kind of an enigma. You don't know what he's going to do, but if he can stay healthy, a lot of people think he has better arm strength, but although he's not as accurate as Foles, so we'll kind of see what happens with that. And Mark McClain, you had asked about the cap tie down. The fact that they've given up a lot of deals, now there's still a lot of months in the offseason, but from according to NewJersey.com, they have an estimate amount of cap space left of $5 million because Sam Bradford this year will have a $12.9 million cap hit, Maxwell will have an $8.7 million, Brandon Graham will have a $6 million, DeMarco Murray will have $5 million. They obviously re-signed Sanchez to 2 years, $9 million. He'll make $3.5 million this year. Walter Thurman, the cornerback they got from Seattle, formerly with the Giants, he's going to make $3 million. And then Matthews will make $2 million. And Alonzo will make just under $800,000. So they came into the offseason. Me and Ryan were talking about this a lot, and I think me and you, Mark, were talking about it a little bit too. They came into the offseason with little over $45 million cap. And obviously, they can still restructure linebacker D'Amico Ryan's contract. He's going to make $6 million. And if they trade Mathis, they could, you know, they could let up a few million in that. They'll probably have to eat a good portion of that. He's just set to make $6.5 million this year. So, and they also need a starting safety to replace Nate Allen and a little bit more depth in their secondary, but more so with their wide receivers. What do you guys see happening with Evan Mathis and B, with the wide receiving core? Because I'm not sold on Riley Cooper. Obviously, they lost Jeremy Maclin, who I'll get to in a little bit. But there were rumors that Mathis was going to go to Miami for Mike Wallace, who has a lot of problems off the field. Ryan, what do you see happening with the Eagles? Are they going to draft mostly a wide receiver, maybe draft and pick up a guy in free agency?
Yeah, I think they're going to primarily address their wide receiver needs in the draft. The draft class for wide receivers is really strong this year. I would say equally as strong as last year. One name for me to keep an eye on this year in the draft with the Eagles is Doriel Green Beckham, the wide receiver out of Oklahoma. During the 2013 season, he was kicked off of the Missouri football team for what they're calling behavior problems. but I truly don't believe that. Yeah, he had to sit out a year when he transferred to Oklahoma. The guy is supremely talented. They're calling him the next Calvin Johnson. He, I believe, comes in at 6'5", 220 pounds. He ran a 4.440 at the draft. He ran a sub-440 at his pro day at Oklahoma a couple days ago. So I could definitely see the Eagles going after him because he should, in theory, fall right into their left. Another name to keep an eye on would be Jalen Strong, the wide receiver out of Arizona State. As far as free agency, Greg Jennings from the Vikings was released today. You still got names out there like Michael Crabtree, Dwayne Bowe. I don't think Percy Harvin's officially signed yet with Buffalo. They're just in agreement to a deal. We've all seen how agreements turned out, like Frank Gore. Just to touch base real fast on the Evan Mathis rumor, it doesn't really seem like the market's there for him to get traded. Nobody's willing to take on his $6.5 million cap hit, and Kelly's not willing to eat any of his salary. So I would venture a guess to say that Mathis stays put for another year.
Yeah, not to mention Mike Wallace got traded already.
Okay.
Yeah, Wallace was traded to the Vikings.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And actually, Ryan, what you were saying about... What's that? For how many picks?
For a fifth-round pick.
Oh. Sometimes those...
Eagles were putting killers in for Dell Patterson.
I was saying... Go ahead, Mark. What were you going to say?
No. They put fillers in for Cordell Patterson. And as for the cap figure, they're telling you does not include that you only put in $5 to $10 million for draft picks included into that cap figure. So you might have another $3 million or $4 million there that they don't have to spend $10 million under the new agreement. They can go $5 million in the draft. They may have $10 million available. I'm not going to sell short Evan Mathis because you can throw a draft pick in with Evan Mathis and attract somebody. And he is a former All-Pro, okay? So, the longer it goes as you get closer to the draft day and training camps, stuff like that, somebody could be losing an offensive lineman or something of that nature. So if Evan Mathis is on the roster starting day, I'll be surprised. I already will. Yeah, that's just my opinion, nothing else. It seems like D'Amico is the only holdout at 30 years old because of his leadership, but they really were going young. Going young, period. And this is what Chip wants. He's going to have his players in there, and like it or not, that's what he's going to shoot for. I like Strong from Arizona. I got word that there was another guy having an invitation Sunday from USC. His name starts with A, but I didn't catch it all. You may want to research that. He's 6 foot, 198 pounds from the Southern Cal University. But he has an interview for the Eagles. He'll be in on Sunday. They're going to interview him. I definitely think they're going to take a wide receiver in the draft. But here's my other point. That Marcus Peters is being talked up big time as a cornerback. Okay? So I don't know. If they may go for this Marcus Peters as a first-round pick. Now, does that Strong or Beckham make it to the second round? I don't know. I really don't know. So there's got to be a decision that's made there. I like Crabtree. I think he wants too much right now. And the longer these days go by, I'll drop the price a little bit. There's another kid from Green Bay, Jarrett Boykin, that has potential. And like Cordell Patterson, he's got high potential too, but somebody's been telling me that he doesn't have the academics that fit for the system up there for Minnesota. So I don't know whether that's accurate or not. But those things fall hand in hand. I can't see us not really having one veteran in there at wide receiver. That would mind-boggling. It would just befuddle everything that Belichick's trying to put together. He's got a nice mixture. He's blending it well. And this is why, in some ways, this old bird has basically been staying in the situation, and that I kind of tend to think that he's going to stick it out with Bradford. And one thing that wasn't mentioned by Ryan and Mark, Bradford played in a Oklahoma system that is more susceptible to what Oregon style was. So that might be one of the things that Chip was really considering when he went for the trade. He may fit in very more, much more comfortable in Chip's system than St. Louis offered it. So I'm hoping two ACLs doesn't make me comfortable, all right? But look, I think we all can agree, every one of us here, we're talking right now, if Bradford doesn't pan out, okay, Chip's career is going to be on the line very quickly. Lurie put him in the control. I loved Chip as a coach, but I wasn't sure of him as a general manager. That's tough. I had season tickets during the Dick Vermeil years, and I saw Dick burn himself out in 82 and 83. And I'll make it even more depressing for you guys how old I am. I remember one of the worst trades in Eagle history when they traded Sonny Jurgensen and Maxie Bond for a guy named Norris Need. And that was back in probably 1964, all right? And that, we didn't have talk radio like we do now. We'd be talking to each other. It would be done at a Sunray drugstore, or be done at a grocery store or a barbershop. But people would be talking about that back then just like they talk about it today. Outside of Reggie White not being signed, I'd say this would be number three as a big question mark of a trade. So, it really, that's where the Eagle franchise, from what my life, okay, from, you know, to that point, I can't speak prior to the 50s, but this is something that none of us are used to, including the young guys, which I'm glad in a lot of ways, because it's not boring. It's exciting for all of us to talk about. God knows we have nothing else but Villanova basketball to talk about, you know, or other three franchises are, you know, dull as all get out right now. So it's energized a whole community, and we're going to be sitting back now for the next 5 weeks scratching our head trying to be football experts and come up with, say, well, what's he doing next? What's he doing this? So, you know, in every report in the NFL Network and the ESPN and Comcast and WIP and the Fanatic and my mutual friends do writing on NJCom and the rest. They're just going to be putting the ideas out there for all of us to listen, and then we're going to be sitting here on blog shows talking about it to our live friends. And that's what makes the great thing of Eagle football to that point. And the beauty part about it is it doesn't matter for me being in my mid-60s to you guys being in your 20s and 30s, okay? We all have the same bond together, okay? None of us have got that first Super Bowl victory, okay? I did listen to the 60 championship game, so I had that break over you guys. But, you know, I've waited longer than you, and I'm so ready to have it. And my God, I really thought we were just about four or five defensive players away, and maybe one receiver away from really going the distance this year. So I don't know. Chip's made some moves here. That one little scoop I could give you, Kyle, and I don't want to chew up much of your time, about Kyle Alonso, all right? I worked with guys at GM, and they were Buffalo, big-time Buffalo fans. They came from the tunnel on the plant. They were transferred down. They knew about this guy. I talked to them, and he's a beast. He's an absolute beast. And my son's a doctor. He wanted to go into sports medicine. And I told Bill Furman on this Philly press box, and I said, you know what, I asked my son, he had friends up in Buffalo in sports medicine that actually worked with Alonzo on rehab, and things looking very, very good, very good prognosis for him. So they may have a little upbeat there, because I definitely think he's an improvement in our defensive linebacker spot, you know, that avenue. But again, I'm thinking that he's going to fit in with Michael Kendricks, and there's scuttlebutt about Kendricks being traded. So, you know, I wish I could come out and tell you, and you know, you guys, Kyle, know me point blank. If I'm pretty confident about something, I'm going to be dogmatic about something. But I won't be dogmatic about this right now, all right? I hope Bradford changes scenery, stays healthy, competes. Everybody's happy. We're competitive. We win a playoff game. And just continue to succeed. That's what all an Eagle fan can hope for right now, at any age, at any level. So,
yeah.
I still have some questions, Kyle. I still have some questions. We need a safety. We need an offensive lineman, and we certainly need a wide receiver. And how we're going to get these guys? Well, there you go, Kyle. There's your challenge.
Yeah, Mark and Ryan, what did you guys think of the Macklin signing in Kansas City? Mark, I'll throw it to you first.
Well, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised that Andy Reid offered Macklin more money than the Eagles did because they need a receiver big time out there in KC. They did not have one single receiver last year record a touchdown, so that's that fills their hole right there. And what I think that we're going to do in the rest of the offseason, we're going to go outside and Crabtree as our, I guess, our number one receiver. And then I think we're going to get that guy, Landon Collins, out of Alabama, the safety out of the draft. And that would be a pretty darn good secondary with Maxwell, Collins, Jenkins, and Thurman.
And before I throw that question to Ryan, Mark, what did you also think about the Kiko Alonso trade?
I absolutely love the trade. I was raving about the trade. I remember this guy as a rookie for Buffalo, and he was a monster. You don't see many middle linebackers record 160 tackles, 4 interceptions, 4 sacks, and 2 forced fumbles in their rookie year. This guy's a monster. This guy's living for him. They're preparing him to actually Luke Kuechly, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, who I think he finished second in tackles a year or 2 years ago before he got injured, but I'm hoping he can bounce back after that injury. And, Ryan, what did you think about the Macklin signing? Signed a 5-year, $55 million deal with the Chiefs. Like Mark said, he reunites with Andy Reid. Last year with the Eagles was his first 1,000-yard season, and his second season when he had 10 or more touchdowns. I'm sure a lot of Eagles fans wanted to keep Macklin. What were your thoughts on it, Ryan?
I truthfully wasn't surprised. I knew as soon as Macklin hit the open market that Andy Reid was going to try to stick it to the Eagles by going out to throw buckets of money at Macklin, and that's exactly what he did. And, I mean, I'm not mad at Macklin. I probably would have done the same thing. I would have gone for the money myself. It obviously moves him closer to his family because he's a Missouri boy. I do truly believe it was hard for him to make that decision, but he had to do what was best for his family. I just can't believe Andy Reid would actually go out and do that. He never did that here. That really stunned me.
Yeah, and you like the Alonso move too, Ryan?
Oh, I love the Alonso move. I've followed this guy since he started playing under Kelly at Oregon, and he is a monster. I mean, he is everywhere on that field. He has excellent coverage skills. He has excellent read skills. And, I mean, he is in on every tackle, and he tackles hard.
Yeah, and you guys are talking about the draft dealer and who we should pick up in the first round. There's also, I don't think we mentioned him. If we didn't, I'll mention him. There's a wide receiver out of West Virginia, Kevin White, 6'3", 215 pounds. Runs a 4.35 at the 40 time, and he's projected to go a top 16 pick. But obviously, things can always fall down unless they trade up. But he was compared.
I saw him going to Oakland at number 4.
Yeah, we don't stand a chance at getting White.
Yeah,
oh,
I
really?
Agree with
that.
I agree. I don't see Kevin White. His combine was so spectacular that. He jumped himself up into the top 10. So unless we really make trades to get up to him, which I don't think that's going to happen. It'd be a perfect fit for our system, but I don't see Kevin White coming.
I don't see it happening. Yeah, because I didn't realize he was supposed to be a top five pick. But actually, getting to that, probably our last topic for the day, what do you guys see happening with Mariota? Because we thought Foles might have been the starter for this upcoming year. And then, you know, a lot of people were saying Foles, although he's a good pocket passer, although he had an average, sometimes below average, 2014 season, then he got injured. They thought maybe he would come back. But then obviously we got Bradford, but Bradford's injured, so we'll see how many games Sanchez could start. But obviously the underlying thing this whole time has been whether or not they're going to get Marcus Mariota, who's slated to go top two, top three. Ryan, what do you see happening with that?
Well, to start, I have heard from a couple sources that Mariota, after his pro day, is not very highly thought of amongst NFL executives. They view him now as the Teddy Bridgewater type of situation from last year, where he started the college offseason as the consensus number one overall pick. Slowly but surely, there were chatter about him starting to slide. He had a terrible pro day, and he dropped to Minnesota at 32. I've heard from those same sources that said that if Mariota falls to Kelly at number 20, he has no hesitation in scooping him up.
Yeah, and he actually said himself that Chip will do what's best for the Eagles. But obviously, you know, we all know, we all seen Mariota's extremely athletic, dangerous runner. You know, Foles wasn't a bad runner, but he wasn't, you know, this guy's, Mariota's more of a Russell Wilson, Kaepernick type of guy, but also has a good arm, too. A lot of times you don't see that with, like, a Michael Vick. Although he had a couple great years with the Eagles and was decent with Atlanta, he was more known for his running than his passing, where it seems like, obviously, you know, remains to be seen what happens with Mariota, but based on his college stats and his athleticism, he's focused to be more of a running slash passing quarterback. Mark, do you see them getting Mariota trading up, or do you see him staying as like a top five pick and not going to the Eagles?
I see him. If he falls at number 20, I can see that Chip Kelly getting him in a heartbeat. But I don't see if he goes top five. I don't see Chip Kelly trading up the mortgage of future to get Mariota.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens, you know, because I don't think Chip wants to mortgage the future, but it'd be smart to, you know, if he has a good chance to get him for a modest proposal by a team in a top five pick, sure, do it. But Mariota is very intelligent, too, so wherever he goes, I'm sure he'll be at least smart with what he does. Now, whether or not he's successful remains to be seen. And I just want to get your opinion on this, Mark McClain. One question, do you think he'll go to the Eagles?
Well, I'll throw a question back to all three of you guys.
Well, Mark, we're getting ready to finish up.
It's possible his contract could be reconstructed, right, and could become more cap-friendly even this year. I don't know if Chip would attempt to do that. I think if Chip attempts to do that, I don't think Mariota comes here. But if it's not, and again, he slips down to our scenario, I would definitely say Mariota is a first-round pickup. I don't have any doubts about that. I think Chip would scoop him up immediately as a third-string quarterback and say goodbye to Barkley and, you know, groom him under Bradford and for the year and Sanchez, and Mariota is going to be your starter next year. Okay?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, that's just common sense to that.
We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, I'd watch Bradford's possibility of restructuring a contract before draft day, because they can put money, guaranteed money, back in the end and not have the full cap hit that he hit right now, and that frees up another $5-6 million by doing that, you know. So that's your key, the big key of you know, that avenue. And if Mariota slips past Cleveland at this stage of the game, or even the Jets at this stage of the game, then all bets are off.
They could trade up. But, Mark, I want to cut in just because we're about to end. The draft, yeah. By the way, is April 30th through the 2nd. I want to thank you, Mark and Ryan, for joining us.
Thank you. Ryan, nice to talk to you. And Mark Milano, one message. I noticed Johnny Dark has been quiet as all get out.
Oh, he has been quiet.